Welcome to the Audit 15 Fun Podcast. My goal of this podcast is to bring relevant internal audit topics to the table at least every 15 days. Today, I have an exciting episode about the standards. And I have the honor to have as my guests, Dohun Honen and Harriet Richardson, both part of the standards board and audit thought leaders. Welcome and thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, absolutely. So today, I already did an episode on domains 1, 2, and 3. So today we're going to be covering mostly 4 and 5. However, we'll delve into public sector as well. So domain 4, managing the internal audit function. So let's pretend that you guys are, and I'm sure you have that experience as well, chief audit executives of a publicly traded large organization, adapting, implementing the standards next year. What is changing for domain 4, managing the internal audit function, Dohun?
Okay. Just to remind us, in domain 4, we are talking about the CAEs. And it covers how the CAE plans strategically, manages resources, communicates effectively with stakeholders, and enhances the quality of the internal audit function. So the changes are, first of all, I would say Standard 9.2 internal audit strategy is new, brand new. It requires the CAE to provide a vision, strategic objectives, and supporting initiative to guide the internal audit function. And establishing a strategy is a basic, basic management process, and important in planning for the internal audit function future contributions and improvement. So in other words, every organization managers needs or even must have strategy, and the CAE is one of the organization managers. So I, as a CAE of a large firm, I have to deal with it, and we as internal auditors check that the organization and its managers have a strategy. So we also need to lead by example. So for example, I need to say that one approach to develop a strategy is to identify and analyze the internal audit function SWOT. And another approach is a gap analysis between the current and the desired state of internal audit function. So I have to think about those. Those are new. The other thing, which is quite new, not so new, but Standard 9.3 about methodologies require me as a CAE to establish policies, processes, and procedures to guide the internal audit function in a systematic and disciplined manner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but that all that we know. And another new, brand new one is about the managing the resources. So we have the financial resources management in Standard 10.1. It requires a CAE to develop a budget that enables a successful completion of the internal audit plan, which must be presented to the board for approval. So we seek the budget approvals from the board, but the board approval of the budget is not required since the process is not in our hands. Another thing, it's about the HR management, human resources 10.2, which require the CAE to establish an approach, how to recruit, develop, and retain qualified internal auditors. Well, you can say, but we have an HR department. Yes, we do, but we know what people we need. So we can do it better. We will adapt the processes and procedures of the organization. We will be will advise by the HR department, but we will decide as CAEs. And of course, about the technological resources, that's another one about this. Another, and I think the last example that I will give, it's about the Standard 12.2, sorry. Principle 12 deals with enhanced quality. And 12.2 deals with performance measurement. On a personal note, this is my favorite standard. I love this one because it goes right into the heart of internal audit. So I will adopt it gladly. But it goes beyond the technical parts of performance to the standards, diving into the essence of the profession. In other words, it deals with the substantive, not just the compliance. It requires me as a CIE to develop objectives and methodology to evaluate internal audit function performance, along with action plans, real action plans, me, not the organization, my department, to address the issues, opportunities for improvement. So it raises expectation for me as the CIE and the internal audit function quality to be more than just the conformance with the standard, showing also an intentional focus on performance measurement as other managers in the organization. And I can see, and I am advised by the consideration for implementation of this standard. So there's broad categories and 11 examples of performance measurements. So I have tools also how to use this and how to implement this one. So that's about the changes.
Perfect. Great summary. And I'm glad that you highlighted the strategic plan 9.2. Just have a conversation with Richard Chambers and Norman Marks, and they had a debate on the need for a strategic plan. And Richard definitely highlighted that it is a good practice to have. So Harriet, domain number 5, which is performing internal audit services. As a CAE, what do you need to do to prepare for next year?
Domain 5 is about planning, conducting, and reporting the results of engagements. It's the part of the standards that probably is most familiar to how everyone is used to doing their work now, but there are some significant changes. So there is a lot more emphasis on effective communication throughout the standards, especially as you're conducting the work. You want to make sure that you're not bringing on any surprises at the end of an engagement. So you want to communicate your objectives. You want to communicate the evaluation criteria you're going to be using to achieve those objectives for each engagement. And you want to be communicating throughout as you're finding things and discussing them with management to determine if they're significant enough to justify reporting as a finding. Another significant change, is that these standards apply to both assurance and advisory services. So it is important to know that unless it's specifically stated in the standards, those standards apply to every engagement that you conduct. And so there is an example where you might not need to conduct a risk assessment for an engagement if it's an advisory service where you may just be providing some advice on establishing procedures, looking at advising them on control processes or things like that. But you do want to make sure that you are documenting your work for every engagement. That is a requirement throughout, that you're still being effectively communicating throughout each engagement. You're talking about what the scope is going to be, the engagement objectives and scope, discussing those with the management, getting agreement on those, and also discussing that you have adequate resources. So Doran talked about the requirement in domain 4 about establishing, you know, resources for the internal audit function, and that carries forward into each engagement. Then you have to go a little bit deeper and say, do I have the resources to adequately conduct this engagement? And if not, then I need to elevate that to senior management and the board and discuss how you can achieve that particular engagement, the results that you are wanting to achieve with the resources that you have, or how you can obtain the additional resources so you can conduct that engagement. So I think another key part of what is different in these standards is in standard 14.4. So the internal auditors are used to developing recommendations, but there's sort of a changing trend to not just develop recommendations, but sometimes instead of developing recommendations, to discuss with management your findings and then ask them to just simply provide you with an action plan for how they're going to address those findings, to mitigate the risk to an acceptable level, to address the root cause of what is causing the condition in that finding. And so sometimes it's a mix of both of those. So you really want to have well-established procedures the methodologies that Doran mentioned in your internal audit manual for how you're going to do that. And that requires some discussion, communication again up front with management and the senior management and the board about what their expectations are for you for how you are going to resolve issues that come up during your engagements, the recommendations or action plans, who's going to develop those, or if it will be a joint effort, and then also monitoring implementation of those action plans after the engagement is complete and you are following up down the road to see, did the recommendations or action plans get implemented? And if so, were they successful in eliminating the root cause of the issue? So those are really the main changes in those areas. As I said at the beginning, a lot of this is the way we do our work now. And so those are really some key changes that I'd want to highlight throughout implementing the new standards.
Perfect. Yes. And like you mentioned, the recommendations versus the input for management on action plan definitely get better buy-in when you have management's involvement. So question for Doran so let's pretend that instead of a large organization, you're in a small internal audit function. How would your answer change, if at all, from your previous answer?
I would say that the standards do not define small internal audit function. Is it difficult, very difficult to do so? Depends on many, many, many factors. On the other hand, the new standards refers to small function in the introduction, fundamentals of the global internal audit standards, a bit in domain 3, 4, and 5. And the introduction says that application is small internal audit function. The internal audit function ability to fully conform with the standards may be affected by its size or size of the organization. So there is an acknowledgement. But with limited resources, and that also refers to what we said before, but for example, in domain 4 in principle 10, and adding resources. So with limited resources, completing certain tasks may be challenging. Additionally, if the internal audit function comprises only one member, so that's a very, very, very small, so an adequate quality assurance and improvement program will require assistance for outside the internal audit function. And then that also refers to 12.1 and 12.3. So I think, in a nutshell, about a small function. In the draft standard, there was more and more, a bit more, reference to small functions, but after deliberation, we decided the standard board that it's really the same, just a bit of a difference. That is what I said in the application small function, which is in the introduction to the to the standard.
Perfect. So application in essence should be the same. Harriet, I know that you're involved in the public sector as part of the standards review. How would your answer change for the public sector, for those in the public sector?
Yeah, so the public sector, there's three different areas that you really need to think about when you are working in the public sector. The first one is laws and regulations. So the public sector exists simply because it's driven by laws and regulations. And so often the internal audit mandate is written in a law rather than just simply a charter that's developed within the organization. And so the internal audit function may not have the ability to make changes or make recommendations for changes if it's written in a law and you have to conform with what the law says and figure out, does it affect my ability to conform with the standards? Another area in laws and regulations is that the standards often throughout require the chief audit executive to have private conversations with the board about issues related to the internal audit function. in the public sector, there are often public open public meeting laws that prevent that from happening. They're very specific about what you can discuss in private, and everything else has to be discussed within an open forum where the public can hear everything that's going on. So they may be limited on what they can discuss in private with the board or senior management. Another key area in laws and regulations is what there's often public disclosure laws, public records acts that allow or require the organization, public sector organizations, to release certain most records related to the work that they do, and sometimes restrict certain things. For example, it may restrict, you may have to redact information, but have to release most of a document. You may have to redact, for example, personally identifiable information, but otherwise release most of your records. So that is something that public sector internal audit functions need to really be aware of. Another area is the governance and organizational structure. So throughout the standards, it uses the term board, but the term board does not always work within a public sector agency. The way they're structured, they may report directly to management. For example, in the United States at a state level, you may have an audit function that's at the state level, and then each department would have an internal audit function that's internal to that organization, where they don't report to a board. They may report only to the senior executive within that organization. So it's important to understand how that would affect how you apply the standards and what standards where it talks about reporting to a board, mainly adapt to conform with the standards as best as you can. And the last area is funding. So in the public sector, everything is driven by tax dollars and fees pretty much. And so there are different structures that I have seen for how internal audit functions are funded within the public sector. Sometimes it's a percentage of a budget, sometimes of the overall budget. Sometimes the budget is established at a high level and then allocated within departments based on how that funding is distributed. And so the internal audit function may not be able to get additional funding. They may not have a say in their budget. It may all be done at a higher level. They can ask for more money, but they aren't guaranteed they're going to get it. They do need to communicate when they think the internal audit function isn't funded sufficiently to achieve the objectives and fully conform with the standards, and they should be able to report on that. So those are really kind of the main areas in the applying the standards in the public sector that internal audit functions need to be aware of.
Definitely in public sector and funding, that's a topic for another conversation here, but really do appreciate you both being on the podcast. Thank you so much for your insights.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.